We are in the bounty of the Lord. Always. No matter what. I'm reminded of years ago when our nephew went to Guatemala, and there was an old guy sitting on a porch in a, wasn't it Guatemala? I think so. Anyway, this old guy was always there, and he's always so happy. You can kind of picture a grin with one tooth, maybe. And he just asked him, where do you get your joy? He said, oh, my joy comes from the Lord. Nobody's going to have anything someday. But everybody's going to need the Lord, and I've got the important thing. Amen. As I was reading Romans 1, going through the New Testament, you know, Romans starts out, the good news is about his son, Jesus. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans starts out with the good news. Telling all the good news, and by the end of it, Paul is explaining why things were the way they were. People made choices. People make choices. It's amazing when people somehow think that God made their choices for them. He doesn't make those choices for them. He doesn't cause us, well, the Lord tempted me. No, the Lord didn't tempt you. You were tempted when you gave in to what was inside you. Well, the Lord tested me. Well, don't let anybody say that God does that. Just let them say this, that God is for me. God will rescue me. Yeah? What a comfort that is. You know, things can look really bad, and then all of a sudden, that's not so bad. And they can go from sad to glad. Yes. You know, we can. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That means, you know, we might weep, but there's joy. Arise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's just the promise of God. But as I read that, I saw the gladness, and at the end of the chapter, it's sadness. It's sadness because they know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. In 32 verses. It goes from explaining the ultimate place of joy that God has given us to the place that we can sink. But we choose that. And it just, the sadness in my heart was to pray for those who are deluded. You know, such were some of us. We need to be aware that there's no limit to the depths that we could go in darkness if we had not seen the great light. We see people that we know, and we think, how can they think that way? We hear, I don't even know who had it up, but there was some post on Facebook, and then there was just this random person saying, you know, it's all the right-wingers that decided not to go the right way, and so they're the ones that are causing all the problems. You know? Well, you see, we're foolish. It's foolishness to believe God to those that are perishing. It's absolute foolishness. But oh, what joy when we believe. And we all come short of the glory of God. We all do. But God doesn't desert us. He never wants to hurt us. When I see the Bible and when I look at the Old Testament and I look at the things that took place, I see what happens to the wicked. I see what was mine being part of the wicked. And when I look at the New Testament, I see what God wants to be seen as. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the express image of the Godhead bodily. Jesus wouldn't even punch out a whisper of smoke, of fire in a person. He encouraged. No matter what a person had done, he'd just simply say, "I don't condemn you, just stop it." The problem is that people are sad if they have to stop something. Sad if we don't get our way. Sad, you know. The young person that came to Jesus, and he came glad. He came because in his mind he was doing well. So when he asked Jesus, you know, what does a person have to do? And Jesus said, well, you know, love the Lord, love your neighbor. Gave him his list of things. The guy said, I've done that. I've done all that since my youth. That's what I was hoping to hear. Probably took a look around, you know, feeling good. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. How can that be? You know, I'm just thinking what he's thinking. Jesus said, how about if you go and sell your stuff and give to the poor? And the Bible says he walked away sad because he had much stuff and it had a hold on him. There's nothing wrong with stuff, but your stuff can't have the hold on you. It can't be the thing that you just want to build bigger stuff. It needs to be for a purpose. And so he went from glad to sad. The scripture does that, you know. It can take us from glad to sad and sad to glad. There's two ends of the spectrum. And the Word of God takes us here or takes us there. When we read it, I read Jeremiah chapter 4. I was reading it today. And I'll get to it here so that I can tell it to you just like it said. And what it did as I read it, it changed. It says in Jeremiah chapter 4, and I think verse 1, it starts out saying, come on, pages, go where you're supposed to go. We're getting closer. There we go. One more. There we go. Oh, Israel, says the Lord, if you wanted to return to me, you could. You could throw away your detested idols and stray no more. And I read that, and I just read, oh, Roger. If you wanted to, you could return to me. You could throw away your detestable idols, and you could stray no more. And that took me back to my old days in motel rooms, taking out the Gideon Bible and trying to read the Bible. Because I was no longer... You can only sit in the bar so long before morning. And God was saying, oh, Roger, but old Roger apparently just ignored it. Because it never said, "Oh, Roger." To me, it was all just, you know, what's Israel got to do with me? I guess I didn't even think enough about it for it to be there. But reading the verse and thinking, "Oh, Roger," took me back to that. And I thought, how many times do we read the word and walk away from it? When you read, "Sell what you have and give it to the poor," do you immediately think, "I'd do that for the Lord"? Or do you think, "Only if the Lord says so"? You know? What do we think? Or do we just read it, and now we've read it, and we just keep going? There's some scriptures, folks, you got to admit this. Maybe you don't. I do. That we sometimes just don't think too much about. It's like when I was a kid and it was dark out and we didn't have bright street lights, and if it was after dark, I ran down the middle of the road. Because I didn't want to get close to, I knew where the dogs were, but I didn't know what was behind the bushes, you know? If you walk around and you know where there's a mean dog, you don't walk close to see how long their chain is. You know? You keep your distance because you know that. And that's what we do sometimes with the Word of God. But we don't need to fear God. We don't need to fear His Word. We need to absorb His Word. The Bible study that I listen in on, you know, they get real busy trying to figure out, like, whose prayers are answered and whose prayers aren't answered, why prayers aren't answered. When you go that, then you got to get up to God. Then you got to say, "We don't know why, God," you know, and stuff like that. And I said, you know, I've read the Bible a lot of times. I have not yet read anywhere that it says to figure out what God is doing, but it always tells us to trust. Trust. You see, confusion, discouragement, those things can get us to figuring, and when we start figuring, we don't necessarily figure right. But if we just truly cast our care on the Lord and trust Him, and behold what the Lord can do. Recently, the Lord has been teaching me some things, and you know, just saying, "Watch what I do." And so I watch what He does. And then I see it. It can't be Him that does it. But things happen that I don't necessarily like what I see. And He says, "Leave it to me." And so I leave it to Him. You know? Rather than keeping going back to it and keeping being, you know, worried about it or whatever the case might be, I leave it to Him. And if I decide to go back to it myself, I say, "Wait a minute, I left this to the Lord." And then I watch. And I've been amazed. And this has just been a specific thing that he's been doing. And I just go, "Whoa, man, Lord. You are amazing." But then I start thinking about what if. It's kind of like, you know, when Abraham said, "What if there's 50 people, Lord? Not a problem. What if there's 10 people, Lord? Not a problem. You can find 10. I don't know where I read this morning, but it talked about the fact if you can find one righteous person, I won't destroy it. Why didn't Abraham go to one? You know, sometimes when we're talking with God, sometimes he can say something that is more than we can possess, and we sort of want to quit talking. You know? We sort of want to, okay, I'll leave that with you, Lord. But sometimes, you know, he says, no, I want to finish talking about this. I want to finish this because when we finish this, it's going to finish a lot of other stuff too. You know? Like that psalm that Fred brought up, okay? It says, only the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. That's what it's saying. It's the Lord. It's only the Lord that can rescue. It's nothing else. It's only the Lord that can make the way. And there is a way that seems right unto man, but it ends in destruction, especially if it's going in opposition to God. And so we look and we consider God and we think about this and we think, you know, the Word of God's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces the heart. It talks to us. It talks to us. God finds the places for us, and it talks to us. Yes. Jesus talked to that man. He was talking to that man. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't say the same thing to us, but it points out to me that Jesus knows exactly what everybody needs. And so I can pray something so profound as to say, Lord, help them see what they need. Open the eyes of their understanding. You know, we are seeing the devil run scared right now. Because he wants to have glory, but he don't want anybody to see. Because when he's found out, and he's being found out, and he's being exposed, he's being so exposed, and he's on full display, and now since he's on full display, now the cat's out of the bag and he's scrambling. And so he's taking anybody that he can captive so they'll scramble on his behalf and causing people. You see people how angry they are. I mean, angry. And there's a difference in being angry and being angry at the devil. There's a confidence and a peace. It's just so easy to say, get behind me, Satan. You have no part in me. To go away. When we stopped to pray about a storm, you know, all we got to do is say, be still. You know? And we say, be still. It's not like, you know, some people can get angry and now they're yelling to get their point. You know, I've done that. You know, I've done that. I've done that to try to get children to turn a corner. I do that to try to get my dog to come back, you know. Yell louder. You know, I found out just recently that she really responds to a clap of my hands. She looks at that. She apparently has dulled her hearing to my voice. You know? And I think that there's some truth in that. Sometimes we can dull our hearing to the voice of the Lord. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We want to always go to the glad of the Lord. He has made me glad. And so his word, if his word pierces and his word speaks, you know, there's that moment. But let's go back to the glad. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you spoke to me. Thank you, Lord, that you redirected me in this very place. Why not? Because if he's got good plans for me, if I don't follow his word, I'm not going to get to the good place. I'm gonna be wandering about, you know? I mean, truth, nobody likes to get caught. Right? We don't like to get caught. We don't want to get caught. But we don't want to get caught. You know? You know, the best way not to get caught is stay away from things that you can get caught at. I mean, I still sometimes marvel at how easy it is to drive when you're driving the speed limit. Without looking to see, you know, and that's, everybody don't have to do that, but that's what God told me to do. You know, it set me free. It set me free from having to see. Set me free from having to roll out of my car and say, whoops, you know. And it also keeps me looking, because sometimes if, you know, my truck will sometimes not remember that it has a cruise control. And so I'm having to drive with my foot. And I pray hard for that cruise control so that I don't have to go up and down and all around, you know? And I pray for cruise control when it comes to God. I pray that I will see. I'm thankful that I could hear, "Oh, Roger," says the Lord. And I wasn't far away from him at the time, but it reminds me we can always return to him if we want to. You know, that's good news. People need to know that too. Anyone, anytime, anywhere can come to the Lord. Anyone can be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We hear testimonies of people that ran abortion clinics that, bang, the Lord revealed things to them, and now they're speaking the truth. We hear all kinds of things. You got in the government, as things are being exposed, you've got whistleblowers. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. But you know, when we come to the Lord, we're seeking life. Now, we can walk in the light as he is in the light. Sometimes we have to just come crawling to him. But he's just as there for us so much when we come. It's like when Ezekiel fell down as dead before the angel lifted him up and strengthened him. That's what God says I'll do. I'll raise you up. I'll strengthen you. I'll carry you. I'll carry you around with me. I'll carry you up on my shoulder and pat your back until you have complete joy. If you just come, if you wanted to return to me, you could throw away whatever is keeping you from me. You could just throw it away. You could just be rid of it. And then don't stray anymore. And when you swear by my name, saying, "As surely as the Lord lives," you could do so with truth, justice, and righteousness. Then you would be a blessing to the nations of the world, and all people would come and praise my name. Then you could be a blessing to the nations of the world. I want to be a blessing to the nations of the world. When we prayed, God hears us. And we can be a blessing. We don't have to have the glory for the blessing, because the glory goes to God. But it is fun. It is fun to see the Lord accomplish above and beyond what we could hope or imagine. It is fun. Everything doesn't always go just exactly the way we want, but some things do. When we talked about Vicky's surgery, her surgery was amazing. They got it done, boom, so fast. So fast. She just didn't come out of the anesthesia, so good. We wanted that so good too, you know. But it wasn't that. Vicky said this morning, "I'm tired of being the norm. I'm not the norm." We're looking for the ultimate victory. We're not questioning God as we've gone along. We're looking for the ultimate victory. We'll dance before the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be glad. You know, as I said in the devotion, when I first came to the Lord, it was like I had lots of sins. And I was really glad they were gone. The big, ugly ones, they're gone. You know, they just were gone. But there's been 40 years of different ones that we have to keep working on. Things that wouldn't even run up the scale according to sin, according to what was, but, you know, the little nothings are like, are you kidding me? It's like spraying for weeds out around the church. And man, I see this stuff finally when it finally hits and it takes hold. And then last night I walked over here and there were some green ones there. I said, are you kidding me? How in the world did I miss those? They're right there. Right there amongst the ones that are dead. They must have waited for the poison to go away, you know? So there they are. So pull those things out of there so they won't even show up. They'll look worse than the dead ones. They'll be gone, you know? And so I didn't run home to get the sprayer and nail them again. I just plucked them, thinking to myself, I'll check this place out with my sprayer again soon. We'll make sure there's no green in the rocks. You know, I want to check out me too. I don't want things. Because if you've got something that causes you to hide, we don't want to hide. We don't want to have to hide. That's not freedom. That's not freedom. You see, the people that are all caught up in all the nonsense, they don't have any freedom. They just got anger. And no matter what they do, they can't be fulfilled. They can't be happy. And if we can't be happy, there's something wrong. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm so glad, though, that as the Lord said, if you wanted to, you could come back. And I say, Lord, I want to. I like the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. I like the joy. I like the peace. I like the love. I like the love when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. I like his patience, his long suffering. I like his kindness. Kindness is just, it's so wonderful, and sometimes it's so hard, you know? But it's so natural in Christ. And so we can rejoice imagining it. We can rejoice getting there. We can rejoice, you know? When we went to see Vicky's mom, went to see Grandma, Michael was rejoicing for 1,000 miles. Walked in, said, hi, Grandma. Walked out, and now he's not rejoicing. He wants to go home. And he wasn't happy again until we were headed east. You know, Michael, you know that he sometimes just grabs his head. What's the matter with you? Well, you're thinking. Yeah, you're not thinking. You just smile. But there's those times. This morning, I was doing something. He came and he just stood there. He wanted a hug. And we started to hug, and I was immediately back in the hospital where the Lord came through the roof and said, love him. And I was just holding him, and pretty soon he just started giggling. And he'd pat my back, and I'd pat his back. I mean, it was a moment. It was wonderful, you know. It was just wonderful. And moments with God are wonderful. It'll take you from sad to glad. A moment with the Lord. Pray for moments with the Lord. You know, on the Bible app, they have a daily refresher, and you punch the button, and you can read the stuff, and listen to, you can pick your music behind, you know. And the last frame always says, you know, when you're done, you can leave. I don't want to be done. You know, that just sounds wrong. When you're done, so I always say, well, I'm not done. I won't be done. But I have to go to the next thing because I got to get the next thing done. But how do you get done? I wish they'd let me take that with me, but I can't. It's over. It's over, you know. Moments with God, some of those moments with God, you know, the greatness of the moment may end, but we can always carry it with us. We can always go to it. We can always go to that place. We can always remember that. You see, God says, bring these things to your remembrance. We need to stay close up with God so that when we run into these other things that try to take us down, we rise up. We come up above them. We can pray. We don't need to be brought down by them. We can believe what God has said. Because the word of God is full of glad and sad. But with the Lord, no matter what, even if it's sad, he ends it with a route to glad. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't fear. Pray. We know the way. We know the route. We know how to get out of what brings us down and in to who raises us up. We have to become stronger and quicker in that because the world is looking for people who know the way. I love you all. I love being here, but I don't want us to leave it here. I want us to take it with us everywhere we go. We see mad people. We see sad people. We see fearful people. We see all kinds of things, but Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You are. You are. Oftentimes people will come into the jail chapels and it would be acceptable for them not to be happy. But I always tell them, you look so much better when you smile. And sometimes when you say that, of course, they're bound to determine not to smile. But so often they're the ones that walk out with a smile, and I can say, you sure look nice smiling. And one guy this week, he came and he started out, you know how sometimes when the word catches somebody, then they try to shut the gate on that, you know, try to change everything, try to change the atmosphere, try to change everything, you know, and he had some pretty strange questions, and I would say, yeah, we'll get to that. But by the end of it, he came and said, you know, I just came to argue with somebody, but this got me. God is able. Amen? Amen. Take it to the Lord in prayer, because we can return to him. We can turn to him. We can run to him as long as it's him. Just make him your target. Make him your place to go. And he will take your sad to glad, your mad to glad, angry to glad. He just can take everything to glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad that the Lord saved me. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us. Thank you, Lord, for your word that directs us and redirects us. Thank you, Lord, that we might get caught, but you will set us free. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for all those that are deluded and believing lies and so far away from your joy and from your peace, Lord, save now. We beseech thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We just calmed the storms in some people's lives. Amen? Powerful people, full of the Holy Ghost and power.